having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an officer. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth. Blessed Jesus, we love you. Oh, we love you. Hallelujah. How great thou art. Hallelujah. Amen. Just help me keep this, Pastor Peter. Praise God. You know, the glory of the Lord is in this place. Everywhere God is honored, he inhabits the place. I say that again. Anywhere you see the Lord honored, he inhabits the place. What did the psalmist say? He said, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How precious the Lord is. How kind, how gracious, how marvelous. Thank you, Lord. All right, the wisdom of a soul winner. This should be part two. Amen. Who is excited about this? Amen. Let's start from Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth soul is wise. Hallelujah. This is a month of soul winning. Okay. And we're excited about it. It's a month of emphasizing the importance of a believer being part of the army that publishes the word, and the importance of a believer being equipped to be able to engage in personal Christian work. Honestly, how many of you in the hall and then online have ever heard the expression personal Christian work? Not walk, W-O-R-K, personal Christian work. Let me see your hand if you've ever heard that expression, personal Christian work. Old members should. Personal Christian work. Thank you. Okay? Every Christian has a ministry. And it is the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. So, the business of soul winning, the business of publishing the word, that is the gospel, is not the exclusive responsibility of apostles, prophets, pastors, and the ministry gifts. But it's something that every believer must be informed and trained to engage in. Are we together? Jesus is coming for a church without spot and wrinkle or any such thing, the Bible says. Meaning he's coming for a church that is fully activated. You heard me use that expression again and again. Jesus is not coming for a docile church. Jesus is not coming for a deactivated or inactive church. Jesus is coming for a church that is fully activated. And part of the full activation of the church is that the everyday believer is told not just about his kingdom rights and privileges, but is taught and trained about carrying out his or her kingdom responsibilities. You can write it somewhere. Are we together? The reason why a lot of people didn't have purpose to the apostles of God, purpose to their hunger after the things of the Spirit, direction, okay, to walking in the anointing as an everyday believer, is because for years, believers were not taught about their personal ministry. When we mention ministry, we look at pastors, apostles, evangelists, teachers, okay, and prophets. So the moment ministry is mentioned, that's what goes to the mind of an average believer. And the danger in that, part of the negative impact is this. Every time a young man begins to feel fire on him, okay, he's worshiping. He's praying and he's feeling fire. The next thing he thinks about is to open a church. Because to him, the concept of ministry is limited to what you call the five-word ministry. And that is a lie from a piece. That is a myth. That is a false notion. Are we together? So, the guy who is a banker collects half a million, 700,000, a million every month. Apart from giving his tithe in church, since he's so busy, apart from giving his tithe in church and attending service with his family to appease his religious conscience, there is no longer a purpose, an active purpose to being a Christian on the earth. He thinks, well, the only thing God needs from me is my tithe offering on Sunday and my presence. Once I appear on Sunday and I greet pastor, I go home. I try not to collect bribe in the office. As a doctor, I try not to do abortion. Amen. Amen. As a politician, I try not to be corrupt. And then I'm fine. That's docile. Amen. The question is, how did we even get there in the first place? Say, I have a ministry. God's vision of the church is not a quiet, benign, docile, innocuous, give me the adjectives, religious gathering or group. God's vision of his church is a locomotive, radical, revolutionary, invasive, metastatic, malignant body of people on the earth who are determined, resolved to make Christ known in their city, in their territory, and in their generation. That means there's no inactivity, there's no passivity. You are de-domesticated. There's a wildness. It's all about the here. Pardon my expression. You are de-domesticated. You know when you said an animal has been domesticated, he has been tamed, localized, and calmed. That's what Satan did to the church. My job in this series is to de-domesticate you. When you enter your office, when you enter your workplace, you go there with the consciousness of a man on a mission, of the church. Am I talking to someone? De-domesticated. You are calm. Amen. No wonder you get depressed from time to time. You see, when you catch this fire, when depression sees you, it's like this. Lord, wildify your servants. Lord, make me wild with this gospel. Am I talking to someone? Sit. We are going somewhere. Sit. Those of you in the overflow, you with me. That teaching anointing has come. Wild. De-domesticated. You may be a housewife, but if they touch you, fire should come out. Are you listening to me? You may be a teacher in secondary school. It makes no difference. When they come around your radios, when they come around your force field, there has to be an experience of the fire of the gospel. Every believer has a ministry. Have we said together? So I'm just attempting to supply equipings in these teachings. I just want to equip us here and there with the skill you will need for a lifetime beyond the month of soul winning. Are we together? Because for the believer, soul winning is a lifetime journey. For the believer, publishing the gospel is a lifetime journey. In Psalm chapter 68, verse 11, he said, the Lord gave a word. Great was the host that published it. Great was the company, Kalabos, that published it. The Hebrew word there is Sabao. Where we got the Lord Sabaoth from, Jehovah Sabaoth from. It means a host. It means an army. The Lord gave the word. Great was the army. Great was the host. It means to go forth in war and to conquer. That means publishing this word has a militant approach. no territory, no kingdom sent civilians to take over. No. No. I've ever seen a nation that sends civilians. They want to take territory. They say, civilians, go and take territory. No. There must be a militant approach. There's a battle for the souls of men. And believers are being militarized to rise as a company, as an army, as a host that will publish the word. Say, I'm among them. Say it, say it. I'm among them. You look yourself in the mirror. The days of domestic civilian Christianity is over. May God give you burdens this morning. As I'm talking, may the fire burn in your heart. The days of domestic, civilian, localized Christianity, privatized Christianity, is over. You will decide. God has enlisted you as part of the army. What do you have to say? Yes, sir. That's all. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm a part of this army. Great is the company. Great is the host. Great is the sabao. The military force that published it. I told you, ministry is warfare. That's another evidence. He said, great is the host that published or announced it. Hallelujah. It says, in the last days, hear the Lord. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountain. Exalted above the hill. Shall be established on top, on top, on top. Meaning the mountain of the Lord's house is not operating independent of the mountains. No. The mountain of the Lord's house is established on top. Are you understanding? He didn't say, you know the way it's been taught, is like the mountain of the Lord's house, which is the church, shall be taller than all other mountains. No, sir. He's not saying, this is the mountain of the church. This is the mountain of politics. This is the mountain of sports and entertainment. This is the mountain of education. This is the mountain of business. This is the mountain of governance. This is the mountain of arts, media. No. It says, shall be established on top. That means when we go to media, we see the mountain of the Lord's house established. Where is our own Al Jazeera? I'm not talking about Christian network. News network. Position for the interest of the kingdom. Am I talking to someone? Shall be established on top of the mountains. If that is true, then every believer has a ministry. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 downwards, after he had declared that if any man be in Christ, is a new creation, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He says, now are we ambassadors of Christ. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has given unto us the ministry. Come on, the ministry. Come on now, the ministry of reconciliation. You can see that he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Every believer has a ministry of reconciliation. We can't be quiet for our generation to be run over by animists, by liberals, run over by psychologists. Have it together. By philosophers. We will rise in grace. We will rise in power. We will rise in the wisdom of the ancients and publish this word to the nations. That's God's vision of the church. And by the way, God is territorial and interested in numbers. In case you are not convinced. God wants to be the most popular thing in the territory. Acts chapter 19 verse 20. In the city of Ephesus. So mightily creed. I mean, that was an observation. Come on now. That means they looked at the city. And they saw the impact of the world. He so impacted the city that men that did curious works brought their works and burnt them. He rammed the sorcerers and the diviners out of business. So mightily grew the word of God. and prevailed. Why did he grow mightily? It was published. The Lord gave a word. Great was the company. Great was the army. Great was the host that published it. I say, I want to de-domesticate while defy you, amen. This is equipping. As I'm talking, be making the decision. Let the word come to you. Let the word enter into you. It is not the word of God that transforms, that gives life. No, it is the entrance of the word. He said, the entrance of thy words giveth life. It giveth understanding. It is the entrance. It is the entrance. So I want you to open your hearts. You may have come here with knees. You may have been in church asking God questions. You may even be struggling with your Christian experience. And you are saying, have I even adjusted and taken care of myself? That makes no difference. And I'm going to show you shortly. Your training is on the job. But even after you are released from the Defense Academy, you are not a general yet. You're a lieutenant. More training makes you a captain. More training makes you a major. More training makes you a lieutenant colonel. More training makes you a colonel. Amen. More training makes you a brigadier general. You go to war college. Maki Kasula Katas. Have it together? But that idea, let me not run ahead of myself. Many things to say. I want to pour it all on you at once. Are you ready? Are you taking it? The business of soul winning is for every believer. It is for, every believer. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 verse 1, they were all scattered in the days of the persecution of the church in Jerusalem, except the apostles who were in Jerusalem. So every believer from the 3,000 in Acts 2, to the 5,000 in Acts 3 and 4, to the multitude in Acts 5, all, to the great multitude of the priests who were obedient to the faith, to the disciples that multiplied in chapter 7, all were scattered. And verse 4 says, all that were scattered, everyone who was scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. Preaching the word. Apart from that, listen, life has no meaning. Apart from that kingdom-mindedness, life has no meaning. Trust me. You will think money is a problem. You will get it, you will not be satisfied. You think sex is the problem. You will get it, you will not be satisfied. You think drugs is a problem. The person will get it, no satisfaction. And they want more and more and more. Why? There is a Christ-shaped vacuum in every man that only him can fill. The guy going to trying to smoke, he's looking for Christ. Amen. He's looking for Christ. It's just that he wasn't told. Or maybe it wasn't presented to him properly. So he thinks there is another high. Mm-mm. There is the greatest high. We'll call it the highest high. The real high is the most high. Oh, is somebody here? When you go high on the most high, there's no other high. It's the highest high. Somebody understood that. It's the highest high. I mean, you saw people going crazy while we were praising. That is a high. Praise God. Christ-shaped vacuum that only him can fill. Nothing else is going to fill it. And it's our job to present him to them. It's our job to bring him to them. It's our job. It's a collective responsibility of every believer. Everybody under the sound of my voice, if you are born again, you have a ministry. If you are born again, you are a part of the army that is to publish the word. If you are born again, you've been enlisted into the army of soul winners. You may have been ignorant, disobedient, lazy, but I'm here to wake you up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, in Philippians chapter 1 from verse 7, Paul talked about how that the Christians at Philippi were partakers of his grace. You know, when you read that, if you don't read deeply, you are thinking he was talking about partakers of maybe the money anointing on him, something. He listed the grace, three things, my bonds, in my defense and the confirmation of the gospel. He says, as touching, put it up there, put it up there, put it up there, put it up there. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my bonds and in the defense, that is Kai, confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. You all are partakers of my grace. That means he's saying they partook of his bonds, of his chains of the gospel. They partook of his stand in defense and confirmation of the gospel. So when Paul stood to give answer, that is the defense. There's the Greek word apologia, from where they got apologetics from. In defense of the gospel, they were partakers of his grace. They were partakers of his grace. They stood with him in the preaching of the gospel. They were not left out. They were partakers of his grace. They were partakers of his grace. The whole Philippian church, that's what he was saying. So he said, when I go preaching, they were not left behind. They were all partakers of my grace, both in his bonds and in his defense and confirmation of the gospel. They were partakers of his grace. Listen, we are not raising a fan base at Glory Zone. We are raising an army. We are raising an army. An army that knows. I mean, the beauty of it, a CEO of a company, he can heal the sick, raise the dead, get people born again, get people filled with the Holy Ghost. Not the one that thinks the use of private jets is to go and carry Brazilian women and be sleeping with them and be lying down in the beach like lizards. But you see, when a man, listen, when a Christian is not properly taught and trained, when money comes, it will destroy him. Oh yes, it will. Money has a force. Money is both a test and a tool. For those who are properly taught, money is a tool. For those who are not properly taught, it's destruction. The same thing with position, amen. But guess what? It starts from where you are. Where you currently are. That's where it starts from. It's a collective responsibility. How the gospel goes in our city. When you go around the city of Jaws and you see alcohol joints, people falling on the road, what comes to your mind? Do you laugh and pass? Or you see it as an indictment on you? When you go on social media and you see the prevailing ideology being anti-Christ, anti-gospel, anti-kingdom, do you see all these people, they are lying to them and pass? No. You take responsibility for your generation. What can I do? What can I do? As far as I'm concerned, I am responsible for this generation. We call it taking responsibility. Partakers of my grace. Partakers of my grace. Don't just be a consumer Christian. Now, God is not against being a consumer. But your journey cannot stop there. No, your journey cannot stop there. Listen, if you don't, remember I told you that the Lord gave a word, great was the army that published it. That means you will submit yourself to be trained. You will submit yourself to be militant about the things of church, about the things of the kingdom, about the things of Christ and the gospel. You will tell yourself, I have to be. You ask yourself, currently now, am I militant about this gospel? In military, they give command, and the commands are obeyed. Glory to God. In military, they are excruciating trainings. Are you listening? excruciating. Military, look at the mathematics. Military and convenience are mutually exclusive. Did you get that? Or let me put it this way. Military is not equals to, you did that in school. Equals to, did you remember? Military is not equals to, I say that for a reason. Okay? Convenience. It's not. If Christianity for you and participation in advancing the kingdom is getting more convenient, that means you are getting less militant. On Friday, we were here. We prayed for 8 hours. What was our prayer point majorly? The gospel. True of us, those who were around. He talked to me now. How many of you are around? What was the prayer point? Gospel. It was the gospel. It was the gospel. You think we do not like our blankets? After the all night, after resting briefly, I was here till 4 p.m. I didn't go home. That means the clothes I wore from Friday morning to the office. My family went home. I was here till around 4 p.m. That's when he took me. You think I was watching film? Or watching football? Are we here? Now, that is me as a preacher. I'm talking to you as a believer. To what extent must effort go? Tabalakapa. You can write, to what extent must my effort go as far as serving God is concerned? To what extent? To what extent? You know, I define hard work for you. I define diligence. That was part of the definition. The extent that effort must go to accomplish that which was set as a goal is a definition of hard work. To what extent? Share flyers. Give our message. Invite people to church. Share your faith in the office. To what extent must effort go? Hallelujah. Are you blessed already? So we said, it's our responsibility. Blessed Jesus. It's our responsibility. And we are getting trained for it. And training is not convenient. In fact, the military life is not convenient. I told somebody, of course, I'm not an advocate for it. But you see, you have to think very deeply. Okay, so that you don't say carnal things. Someone say, why is it that in that ministry, they transferred the man to be pastoring the nearby city while his family is in this city? Right? No, why his wife is pastoring in this city? I asked a very simple question. I said, when a woman is married to a military officer, does he ask Nigerian army or Nigerian military the question, why am I in Jos? Last year, my husband was in Kaduna. The other, this year, he's now in Sambisa. Next year, they are posting him to Lagos. Those of you that grew up in the house of military people, your father had to find a base, true or false? Of course, I'm not an advocate of that. It's not part of our pattern of ministry. But for God's sake, why in the military? And so what if human military? You know, there are people that be on peacekeeping mission. There are people that did not see their fathers for 5 years. 5 years. They were in Liberia. Did you go to protest to chief of defense staff? It's because Christians have been demilitarized. That's the problem. We think we have the whole life is about the whole world. All the fun. That's why somebody will ask that question. I say, and so what? What is the big deal? It's done in human military. Are we together? Somebody is looking at me funny already. I just said it. Glory to God. Militant. That's why I say, go and study the military a little. You understand how to stretch for the gospel. How to stretch. Up till now, I can't understand why it's difficult for some Christians to close the account and give to church. Maybe with the aid of a simple diagram, maybe you can illustrate it for me. Why? With the aid of a diagram, maybe write for me. Why is it difficult for a Christian to give his tithe, to give partnership, to close his account and give? Why is it difficult for a Christian to share messages, to give gospel message to someone, to invite someone to church, to follow somebody up, okay, until they are established in the faith? I can't understand. Praise God. Are you getting trained? From now on, when you stand in front of the mirror, see yourself as a military officer. See yourself as someone who is in an army, who is a military organization. And as we talk about the month of soul winning, that should be that your view, your paradigm should shift. Glory to God. It should shift. When we say we are praying, you are praying. When we say win souls, you are available. When we say talk to your neighbors, talk to your colleagues, okay, share materials, do this, be a part of it. No, maybe you sit down and write, you tell yourself with this aid of a simple diagram, let me write why I don't even do the instruction that is given in my church. Maybe you just write it down. It will help you. You are busy. You forgot. Amen. It is difficult. No, maybe you just write it down. And tell yourself, when I appear before Jesus, I'll give him the excuses. I'll give him the excuses. Amen. Let me tell you something to encourage you. Before I became a pastor, I vowed that everybody around me would hear the gospel. And I did it. As a student, where is Dr. E.T.? I have classmates and members of this church. I said categorically, I am free of the blood of everybody who was in my class. I preach to them like Paul said. I preach to them one-on-one and publicly. I preach to my professor. I preach in the car. I preach in the bus. I preach in aircraft. Where else? I did dawn broadcast. How many remember dawn broadcast? Dawn, that's morning cry. Then we will say morning cry. Dawn broadcast. Amen. We funkified it. Glory to God. And now recruit people. You go to this place, go to this place, go to this place. Dawn broadcast. Are we together? Every church I was a part of had the list of people who became members of that church because of me. In Covenant World, my pastor's church, who were there, however, and I were there, amen, as members, I was called, a pastor called me and said, oh, you are the one? We see your name in the guest cards, only because he has a portion, he invited you to church. Are you listening? I was not a pastor. So, is something you keep before you, not something that, hey, when he said, oh, what do I do? No. You structure your life. That's why I say it's for a lifetime. If the passion is not hot enough, start praying. Just start praying. Lord, give me a heart of a volcano. A heart that burns with the fire of the gospel. Lord, ruin my desire for every other thing except this gospel. In the name of Jesus. You are praying. You pray it. Real prayer. Amen. Real prayer. Didn't you read? The Bible says, blessed are you when you have worked up a good appetite for God. Matthew 5 verse 6, Message Translation. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? Let me give you three myths why Christians are ineffective in soul winning. Three myths. A myth is a false notion. three myths. It's a false notion. That's what a myth is. Number one, soul winning and evangelism is for mature Christians and for ministers of the gospel. Amen. That's a false notion. I preached it in first service. That's a false notion. I'm not mature yet. I'm still struggling with my Christian life. So how do you want me to win souls? How do you want me to invite people to church? How do you want me to give out Christian material? To give out messages, tracts? False notion. Hallelujah. False notion. That's a myth. The Samaritan woman, the day she came out of adultery, became an evangelist. Quote and unquote. Amen. At least she went out to announce. Are we together? And I say that having that kind of attitude towards the gospel will help you grow. And many, there are many reasons for that. It will help you grow. Number two myth. So I have demystified the myth. Amen. It's not for mature Christians. It's for every Christian. Including those that will get born again in the second service today. After you are born again, you point people to where your life was changed. You don't need to go to Bible school. At least give them something. At least give them messages. At least invite them to church. Minimum. Are we together? Makapatoska. Myth number two. Soul winning is for those who have the gift of evangelism. So we will just support them because we don't think I'm for personality reasons, for wiring reasons, I'm an introvert. So it's not for me. That is a false notion. That is a myth. Again, Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and 4. You can write it down. Everyone went everywhere, preaching the word. It didn't say only the extrovert went out to preach. Okay? And they selected all the extroverts to go for evangelism. They are the ones that know how to talk. Amen? No. Everyone went everywhere. Now, everyone went everywhere. Let me explain. Okay. Let me put it in contemporary language for us to understand. You know, even in Mark chapter 15, when you hear the Bible talk about going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, okay, you have to study deeper to understand what he's talking about. He's not saying leave your job and be on the streets. However, there are times where, as a body, we call, like this Saturday is going to be a general outreach. Amen. Don't show up. Amen. At 9:30 a.m., all of us wear face masks and come with your cars. We'll put sticker. We'll go into the city. Amen. What was the instruction? Don't show up, right? He means show up. Hallelujah. All right, back to what I was saying. When he says everyone went everywhere, he's not saying they were all on the street alone. That's not what he's saying. Now, I quoted Mark, is it Mark 16? When he says, go into all the world, pray to God for every creature, he that believeth in baptism, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. Amen. They shall speak with new tongues and all that. Reading deeper or studying deeper, you see that what he's saying is this. Preach the gospel to every creature as you go about your daily business. You may have to write that down. Preach the gospel to every creature as you go about your daily business. That means God expects you to be engaged, okay? To have a job, to have a business, to be busy. Amen? But he's saying as you go about those daily business, have the gospel on your mind. Oh, like the prophet to say, let Jerusalem come to your mind. So he said, everyone went everywhere preaching the word, meaning everywhere they were located. There were those who were tent makers, okay? There were those who were in the military, amen? There were those who were teachers. So everyone preached the gospel everywhere. That means on their job, they preach the gospel. Are we together? In their business place, they preach the gospel. Are we together? In their neighborhood, they preach the gospel. That's what he said. So there's no such thing as the gift of evangelism. It's a command to every believer. And we have broken it down and we are still breaking it down. At least there's something you can do. Praise God. There's something you can do. Because there is a war for the souls of men. This is what we call it. We call it the business of soul winning. Because there's an economy behind it. Are we together? There is an economy behind it. Matthew 16:26. He said, what shall a man gain if he loses his soul? He said, what shall he profit a man if he loses his soul and gain the whole world? Underline profit. That is a business term. Have it together. Have it together. The last part of the verse is, or what shall a man give in exchange? Underline exchange. That is an economic term. I told you the domain called earth is an economic space. It's a business space. And the most expensive material in the commodity market of the cosmos is the souls of men. Satan understands that. Demons understand that. It's just that the church and many believers don't understand that. You know why I know? Of course, we have brethren that work in a bank. What do they say? No, put up the verse. He said, what shall he profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What is he saying? The soul of a man is worth more than the whole world. You liquidate all the wealth in the whole world. From all the nations, Europe, China, America, Africa, and put them on one side. And then put a soul, watch this, put a soul on this side. This soul is worth more than all the wealth of the world. Question, do you believe it? Zenith Bank, GT Bank, British America branch, Junction branch, is managing a fraction, watch this, follow me, is managing a fraction of the wealth in Joshua, not even in Nigeria. Yet, there's a seriousness. In the morning, people are beefing and hurrying. They are driving to the place. The place looks clean. Glory to God. If you come late, they give you a query. And yet, believers think that a young man, a young lady who works in the ministry office is wasting his life. No value. As somebody can, listen, no, I say it again, don't be pastored by social media. You will just head for destruction like this. You are going, you can't see it. Data is cheap. Don't give your ear to anybody saying jack on social media. Don't. Listen to those who have lived before you, on whose bodies you see the mark of the calling. Those who have left everything to do this work. Data is cheap. How much is data? 7 gig. 1.5 can buy it for you on Airtel or so. Amen. With that, you can confuse many people who want to listen. Go and pay for church venue. Counsel people who go into trouble. Be there for them. Do naming ceremony. Bury people's parents. Amen. Have it together. Stand with people in their trouble time. Enjoy the betrayal of people. Well, yeah, you can't. You can't listen to them. So when you see them making noise like that, write it there, social media pastor. And laugh and pass. Makopotos Calabayas. You know, I've told you, a lot of them, they run their businesses. When they are finished confusing people on social media, they go and do import, export, and make money. They don't know what it means for God to tell you, drop your certificate and do this work. Drop this job and do this work. They have no idea. Praise God. Amen. And they used to do the job. In the 20th century. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes things happen so that you can get convinced whether you hear God or not. I just stepped into full-time ministry, and my allowance was it 50,000? Yes, I remember. Amen. Joyfully, and all that. Amen. I think at that point, I seeded the car I had, and all that. Glory to God. Have it together. Amen. That's like a fraction of what I was getting as a doctor, or what I should get as a doctor. Incidentally, around that period, a friend of mine, somebody was in my class. Oh, God. Thank God for me. I just got this job. My classmate. I just got this job. They pay me 900,000 every month. Amen. Bakasaya. Just divide them by themselves. Amen. That's almost times 20. Are we together? I didn't stop doing what God has told me to do. And then on one day, somebody on social media will talk. You can see why God punishes people. No, you can't. You now see. Somebody feels because he's feeling fresh. Now he has something to say. Don't, oh, I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. Because he has bought an Apple laptop now, has one iPhone, there's an AC in his office that took him to Dubai. He felt AC and all that. He flew this. He now has a message. And the Lord has sent him to the body of Christ. And please, let me say that thing publicly. Addressing doctrines in the body of Christ is a calling. It's an office. It's an office that has requirements, apostolic requirements. Have it together. And actually, the first requirement of that office is love, not anointing. So if there's no palpable love, if there's no palpable love, number one, what have you done? Where are your marks of apostleship? You are not going on social media. You want to castigate everybody who is doing this. Hallelujah. There's a battle for the souls of men. That's what I'm saying. And the worth of a man's soul is more than the wealth of the whole world. What Satan is after is not money and fame. No, 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 no. It is the allegiance of men. That's what he's after. So somebody thinks it's about money. It's about fame. It's about the glory. No. No. That is the challenge of mortals. They don't know that immortal spirits are not moved by these things. What counts in the spirit is allegiance of the soul. Matthew 4. Quickly. His mortals that are bothered by those things. And that is why they do bad business. They give their souls for what their soul is not worth. Matthew chapter 4. Give me from verse 7. The temptation of Jesus. Go to verse 8. Go to verse 8. Again, the devil took him up into exceeding high mountain and shows him all, watch this, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Is this not what men are pursuing? This is what men are pursuing. The kingdoms of this world and the glory of the kingdoms of this world. But look at what Satan had it. But Satan showed you what is more important than those things. The soul. Again, you know why Jesus talks about what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. He had experienced it. You know, this one happened before he said that. So he's not talking to you from theory. He had experienced it. He had had the offer. He had the offer to give his worship and the allegiance of his soul. But turn it down. So when he says, wash, what will you gain? What will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? He had experienced an offer. That was chapter 16, this chapter 4. Can I get an amen? Watch this. Showed him the kingdoms of this world and the glory. Next verse, verse 10. He said unto him, all these things will I give you in exchange for what? If you will fall down and worship me. This is what Satan is looking at. That means soul winning is about getting the souls of men to become allegiant to our king. Are you getting it now? And if Satan is ready to give the whole world to get worship, we should be able to give anything possible. Is somebody hear me? Anything possible to get the worship of men to our king. Are you getting it now? Because the greater things on the earth is the allegiance of the soul to God in worship and obeisance. Satan is a good businessman. Many Christians are not. He said, worship me, I will give you the whole world. They are doing the same thing today. I heard there are people that give them money to convert to a religion. Your soul is worth more than the wealth of the whole world. The souls of men is worth more than... What am I saying this? If you spend 10 million to win a soul, is worth it. Oh, who got that? We put so much money into ministry, and the one soul was saved. Is worth it. In the mathematics of heaven, in the metrics, in the indices of heaven, it is worth it. We do not waste money. It is the poverty of men's hearts that is confusing them. Spirit, immortal spirits have no problem with money. What is being traded is the allegiance of men, the souls of men. How many of you ever watched Jupiter Ascending? No, I was inspired. They were trading planets. No, that's to show you that the most expensive thing in the commodity market of the cosmos is the souls of men. Watch this. That means every time that you as a Christian participate one way or the other in the equation of sowing it, that is bringing men's souls in allegiance to Christ and his kingdom, you get the attention of the spirits in heaven. Did you get that? And you will never go unrewarded. Never. In case you have not gotten it, Satan was given the whole world to have the worship of a man. Spending 10,000 to take somebody on a lunch 2 times a week so that I can follow you to church is worth it. Somebody did not catch that. Are you ready to spend money for this gospel? You can see Satan giving the whole world to get a man's worship. When we talk about sowing, let your mind be big. When we talk about the harvest, you know, we're talking about the one-on-one. That's the emphasis. And then little here, I'm putting the global evangelism there. Very soon, we'll talk about looking at the whole world. When we talk about sowing, and then calculating your participation and determining your participation. As far as global evangelism is concerned, this is my part. I will do it. Amen. That means you can be in Jos. Your money will be preaching gospel in UK. Your participation on social media will be preaching the gospel in Europe. Amen. In Kenya. In Mali. We'll get into all that. Is somebody with me? This is the supreme task. And there's a way. There's a thinking of a soul winner. This is what I'm sharing with you. You value the souls of men. You know that what God wants, what is important in the realm of the spirit, is the allegiance and the worship of men. And you participate in publishing the word to bring to gain men's allegiance in worshiping your king. Hallelujah. I gave it 2 minutes, right? Number 3. Soul winning is very difficult. That's another lie from the pits. Sowing is very difficult. It is not difficult. It is not. The Samaritan woman, did she find difficulty? I said it in the first service. What is so difficult about handing this to someone? How to deal with fear? Okay. I'm taking 2 minutes and saying, listen, okay? Many things are happening in the world. Whether I like it or not, many people are dealing with things. I'm taking 3 minutes. So many things are happening in the world. It's just a material put together by the Spirit of God to minister to your soul. Or to you to, you can just say you learn something. It depends on the person you met. You learn something from this. Read it and get back to me. Let's discuss. And then you ask, have you read the material? I'm telling you, the person who read it, the anointing is already on this. Amen. But play your part. Don't say it's difficult. Is it difficult to spend 3 minutes and then talk to the person and say, okay, I'd like you to come to our church on Sundays, this is what happens and all that. There's a right word for you. And he said, no, I'm not a Christian. He said, no, our church is not for Christians. Amen. It's for man. It's for human beings. It's not for Christians. It's for everybody. Amen. I've told you before, God is not a Christian. God is for man. God is a monarch and is for man. Amen. So don't create that niche. How many of you remember Dr. Malik, who came here to take some sessions in the marketplace? You know, he came to UJ as a Muslim. Where schoolmates in med school. He got born again in Tondo level also. He had this roommate. Let me tell you the kind he was. He was being trained. He's an intellectual guy. He was being trained to be a scholar. That means they privately, to be a sheikh, they privately mail him material from the Middle East. He reads them. So he was sophisticated. And the guy would say, let's go to church. Like, you won't let him. He say, just leave me alone now. What's your problem? Consistently. And then the guy had the book on his shelf. Is it Good Morning, Holy Spirit? Jesus came into that room. It was on a Sunday, actually, while everybody had gone to church. He had a terrible encounter I couldn't recover from. He has about 10 siblings, or 10 or 12 siblings. He got all of them born again. What he could know was he was in tears for 3 hours, and it was like 3 minutes. Amen. Oh God. What we have is real. Don't even play with it. He was in tears. He thought he was it 5 hours or so? I'll ask him to verify. He actually thought it was 5 minutes. And his whole life was recalibrated. Entire life. I was one of the officiating ministers at his wedding. He had been here before to talk about business and the internet. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit will need that contact. Material, somebody who is concerned, who is saying, follow me to church. So it's not difficult. That's what I'm saying. It's not difficult. It's just to be decisive. You just decide, this is what I'm going to do. It's not difficult. What's difficult about transferring messages to people? Can you bring your phone? I have 5 messages. Materials. You can call it materials. Okay. Or sermons. Whatever works for you. Seminars. Whatever works for you. That I would like you to listen to. You transfer it to the person's phone. And then remind, have you listened to them? Wisdom for Mighty Works. Have you listened to them? Keys to Radical Transformation. Have you listened to them? Thriving in Adversity. Amen. From Survival to Greatness. How to Handle Difficult Seasons. Their materials. The Blessedness. The Blessings and the Principles of Spiritual Growth. How many of you remember that series? Pastor Gordon said that series changes life forever. Amen. Contact, and let it be daily. You know what I wanted to tie to this business was the diary of a soul winner. The diary of a soul winner. What are your daily logins? Daily activity log as far as soul winning is concerned. Your daily memo. Are we together? Those of you in the overflow, are we together? If Jesus has changed your life, you've got to let the whole world know. With your money, with your mind, with your efforts. Hallelujah. Do it. Do it. Make sacrifice. Stretch. You may have kept the money to do something with it. Give it. Let it be used for soul winning. God does not forget your labor. And sometimes God will give you a confirmation. Amen. Recently, somebody came to give a millionaire to church. Okay. And as I was praying for her, and the Spirit of God told me, tell her properties. Properties. House. And she began to cry. She said, sir, I kept this money to buy land. But while you were talking about Project X, God told me to give it. You think she's a fool? Of course, that's God encouraging her. That money is used for soul winning. Oh, talabakaya. Oh, rabakataya. So she stands in heaven one day. A soul comes and says, thank you. Say, where do I know you from? The angels did a calculation. Your money was used to put the gospel into the local church, to strengthen a missionary in Lokoja, a missionary in Kano, to do this, to put the gospel on TV, on the internet. And I heard your money was traced. You see, there's a technology. It was traced to this soul that was won. Are you here? Don't play with this. Give your life for it. Give your resources for it. Give your all for it. Give your mind for it. Plan for it. Make sacrifices for it. When you're in church and they're talking about soul winning, don't act like you're not the one they're talking to. When they're talking about sponsoring the gospel, say, Lord, you are talking to me. And like I always say, everybody has something to give. Oh, trust me when I say so. Except you don't want to give. Everybody has something to give. I'm not saying bring that in and give to church. No, we don't. Go and sell it yourself. Gather the money and bring. Glory to God. Have it together. Soul winning. Soul winning. There's a question I answered in the first service. You can go and get the part one of this teaching. Is church invitation a biblical strategy for soul winning? What is the answer? For those who say, you know, there are those who want to sound deep, quote and unquote. They are shallow. You know, most people who try to form deep are shallow. It's just that they don't know. Just don't know if it's soul winning. We have many instances of people who answered the altar call, who got saved because they came in contact with our ministry through somebody who invited them. A lot of testimonies. And it's everywhere in scripture. Okay. For the last one, let me do this and we'll close. You know, it's a training. I'm stretching your time. Hallelujah. But there are places where they keep people in church at 2 a.m. Amen. I am trying. I think you should clap for me. Praise God. What do you think? Am I not trying? Son of man is trying. Amen. Praise God. All right. John chapter 1 verse 40. We'll run 40 to 40, 46 very quickly. And then we will close. I've shown you the Samaritan woman. She went out to invite people. Remember, this series continues on Tuesday and continues on Sunday. The wisdom of a soul winner. I'm going to connect the impact of soul winning to greatness to you. The impact of soul winning to staying in health. The impact of soul winning on your finances, on your life, on earth, and in the world to come. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 40 now. We read it in first service. All right. 40. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. You see how Christians are hypocrites. Let me just pause. Somebody goes to Bibi Naija and then you are voting for him. He comes as a celebrity. You are shouting. You are sharing his post. When a pastor say, like my page. Okay. Follow me on Twitter. You know, Christians are amazing. Make sure you retweet this until it trends. Somebody say, why is the pastor trying to be popular? What's your own problem? Are you not helping somebody be popular? You don't every time you drop a comment, oh, that's nice. Oh, this, let me not call anybody's name now. Okay? Some of you are looking at me. You watch those things in private. And you are passionate. You follow them on Twitter. You retweet. Oh, you say, oh, that is just a moral lesson. You retweet. You don't retweet pastor's tweets. Amen. Amen. Now, I say that for a reason. A true pastor carries an image of the Lord Jesus. A true pastor is an icon, have it together, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That means a true pastor represents something. He's an embodiment of a message. Have it together. So every time you hold a pastor's hand up to promote the message of the Lord Jesus, you are advancing the kingdom. And part of the things we have to do this is to do it big. Is to do it big. Strategically, and to do it big. I'm going to do a series on gospel on the wings of social media. A teaching. Very soon, it's not far from now anymore. On the wings of social media. Let the influence be strong. Have it together. Let the influence be strong. Let the influence be strong. Let's be on their faces. Listen, it is the truth you repeat that is established. Not showing every Sunday, we'll show, we'll live stream, we'll go away until Tuesday again. No, we will be there. And you'll be with us there. Are we together? All right, the invitations. I'm going to take 30 minutes of your time. I'm sure that's allowed. Eh? Glory zone. Is that allowed? Hello, people. Is that allowed? All right. Put it off on me. Orakapa. He says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Next verse. Hallelujah. He first finds his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which has been interpreted, the Christ. So Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. And Peter became a pillar in the church. In fact, Peter is called the Pope, the head of the early church. Have it together? Peter the Pope was invited to church. He did not meet Jesus by himself directly. There was a middleman. He became Andrew Senior in the ministry. Even though it was Andrew that invited him to Glory Zone. Amen. Are we here? And with him, God did wonders. You know, when you do things in response to instructions as an act of faith, you don't know what God will do with it. I'm just pouring out my heart. You don't know. From today, I want this place is jammed on Sunday with Abby. From Tuesday, everything you are hearing, you should start acting from today. Are we together? We should start a third service and have three services full. If I with more people following online, we should. Praise God. Put it up. When I'm still reading scripture, just put it up. I have found the Messiah, which has been interpreted, the Christus. Next verse. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Next verse. And the day following, that was scene one. Fast forward, scene two. The day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow him. So Jesus invited Philip directly. Or Philip encountered Jesus directly. Next verse. Now Philip was of the city of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Next verse. Philip finds Nathanael and began to talk to him. We have found him of whom Moses the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of the living God. There's a church I go to now. The world is amazing. The atmosphere is glorious. Glory to God. You need to listen to Dr. Caris. Amen. Amen. Hear the response. Is any serious thing happening in Joss?
Did somebody get that? Hannah turned and said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? What was Philip's response? Come and see. Sometimes that's what you have to tell people. They'll come here and something will jump upon them. Oh, we have seen it happen. Something will jump upon them. Your part is to bring them. Something will jump upon them. Well, make utter calls, they'll respond. Some will respond publicly. Some will respond the next Sunday. Yours is to insist. Come and see. Come and see. Hallelujah. And then he encountered, give me 4 verse 30, 29 and 30, and then 39 to 40. That's John chapter 4. Fast. Okay? Start from verse 29. This was a Samaritan woman. Start from verse 28. Let me try to give a little context. Then the woman left her water pot and went her way into where? Into the city. And said unto the man, come and see. That was the invitation. Did she explain to them that she, you know, Moses said, a Messiah shall be born, okay, out of the tribe of Judah. He will come from the lineage of David. Not actually the first son of David, not even Solomon, but Nathanael. You see, when you trace, was that what she did? No. Simple. Come and see. He says, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Next verse. And they went out of the city and came unto him. Jump to verse 39. I believe I have it right. Verse 39. Look at this. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Jesus. Why? For the invitation of the woman, which testifieth, he told me all that I ever did. Are you testifying about Jesus? Are you testifying about the gospel? Or the least? Are you testifying about the church that blesses you? Amen. Have it together. And then many came. Next verse. Many came. So what the Samaritans were coming to Jesus, but tarried. Next verse. And many more believed because of his word. And when you read the next verse, they told her, now we believe, not because of what you even say. We have heard him for ourselves. Hallelujah. Lastly, Luke chapter 14. We'll start from verse 16 to 23. I will close there. Have you been blessed this morning? Have you learned something? We'll talk about, on Tuesday, I'll talk about essential wisdom in approaching the unsaved and the unchurched. What do you need to know? Okay. I'll teach about that on Tuesday. Okay. And we'll wrap up, hopefully, on Sunday. And they said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many to come. Just be patient with me. He bade many to come. Next verse. And said, and then, why did you go again? Now we're doing Luke 14 now. How did he turn to Matthew? Next verse. Verse 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidding, come. For all things are now ready. All things are ready. Amen. All things are ready. Okay. We'll pray on Saturday. The message is ready. Glory to God. We fast. Take communion. Preparing for Sunday. If not on Thursday, the prayer team is praying. All things are ready. Hallelujah. Pastor is putting food together. Not uncooked food. Cooked food. I'm not a pastor that serves uncooked food. Do I have a witness? Cooked food. All things are ready. Let them come. Next verse. 18. And they all with consent began to make excuses. So the people you invite to make excuses. Excuses don't exist. They are made. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I pray they have me excuse. Supper? You want to go and see a land in the evening. What happened to the morning time? Next verse. You can see it was an excuse. Another said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen. I want to go to farm and prove them. Have me excuse in the evening. I'm sure some of you that invite people to church, you hear all kinds of excuses. Amen. If I meet, they've chopped my money before. Transport. I don't have transport. Aguarugoba boys, they come to church tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But do we stop because of that? No. And we also have testimonies of lives that have been changed. Amen. Glory to God. Our impact is beyond these words. A lot of students have passed through this place and have gone to the nations of the earth. Amen. We're a major part of their lives eternally. Glory to God. They've finished. They've left Jaws. But they'll never forget. And we hear from them practically daily. Another said, next verse. I have married a wife. What a better place to go with your newly married. Amen. To supper. But said, I cannot come. Next verse. But my point is, God does not take excuses. I feel the anointing on me. So the servant came and showed to the Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said unto them, go out quickly onto the streets, the lanes of the city, bring hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Next verse. Amen. So go everywhere. If those you expect are making excuses, reach out to others. Reach out to others. If you preach to one and say, this Christianity, I'm not sure. Next. Do you understand? But he didn't stop. The servant said, Lord, it is done, and there's yet room. There's yet room. Next verse. And the Lord said to the servants, go out into the highways and the hedges. Hedges means the fenced places. And compel them to come in. The Greek word is anakazo, right? Some of you should have read the book. It's part of the book you are to read this month. By Dag Hayward Mills. That my house may be full. May be filled. God wants his house filled. Figuratively and literally. I tell you, God is interested in territories and numbers. He's so interested in numbers. A whole book in the Bible is called the Book of Numbers. Didn't you read in Acts, they recorded 3,000 were saved. 5,000 were saved. Multitudes were added to the church. Hallelujah. Amen. The bigger the better. The more the merrier. Amen. Are we together? Now my house may be full. And my house. So your contribution in getting his house filled on ground, online. We should relaunch our brand. Is it this Sunday? Upper Sunday. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm going to go all out on ground, online. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you been blessed this morning? I know many of you have this tract. If you don't, pick them, okay? And come to the office tomorrow or Tuesday to pick as many as you want. Get the messages from media people. Get invitation cards for church. Have it together. Get materials. Give them to people. Plan. Get a book. Write so winning venture at the back. But you write the names of people you have contact with. Pray for them. Show them love. Show them kindness. Get them to church. Give them materials. Give them something to read. Something to listen to. Have it together. Be systematic about it. Do it daily. Be intentional. The Bible calls us sheep. How does the sheepfold grow? By the sheep's reproducing. Have it together. By the sheep reproducing. Be passionate, young and old. Get them in. Hallelujah. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I am a part of this army. Can you say with excitement, okay? This message did not bring condemnation. He brought equipping, okay? He brought light and enlightenment. Say, Father, I'm a part of this army that is publishing the word. Those of you in the overflows, please follow us and online. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm a part of this army publishing the word. I can't hear people say it out loud. Lift your right hand and say, Father, In the name of Jesus, I'm a part of this army publishing the word. I'm a soul winner. I'm an effective soul winner. The fire of the gospel burns in my heart on the daily basis. In the name of Jesus. And I am driven by this fire to reach out to my world, to my neighbors, to my workplace. In the name of Jesus. To my family members. In the name of Jesus. I give materials out. I give tracts out. I give messages out. I invite people to church. I share my testimony of transformation by the gospel. I preach Christ to many around me. I am bold. I am confident. In the name of Jesus, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet, everyone. Korabakata salatoska. Oh. Malakos kebrunda sista. There's something you can do. And I prove it to you from the Bible. You don't need to be a superstar. You don't need to go to Bible school. So I have left you with no excuse. Everybody listening to me in the halls, in the overflows, online, you are left with no excuse. We saw somebody who committed adultery the day she encountered Jesus. It was the day she came out of adultery. That same day, she went to announce. Not the next day. So you are already spiritual. There's no more excuse. I've broken it down. Okay. To invitations to church, giving up materials. Okay. And then to preaching Christ. There's no excuse. If you don't do anything, it's just you. I want you to make a decision. In your journal, you can write it down. Lord, from today, this day, the 16th day of August, I have decided I'm a soul winner. I have decided I will announce from where I am. I will start from where I am. Soul winning and global evangelism. Now I have been taught it's not the exclusive responsibility of the fivefold ministry. I have a part to play. I have a ministry of reconciliation. I can preach the gospel. I can give somebody material. I've made up my mind. I'll design a timetable. I will do it. And my souls, the Bible says, I've called and ordained you that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Is somebody praying? Is somebody praying? And you say, Lord, my fruit will abide. My fruit will abide. I will see my souls. I will see people that are introduced to the things of the Spirit become soul winners, become preachers, become effective Christians. In the name of Jesus, I will preach to my siblings. I will preach to my parents. I will preach to my spouse. I will preach to my loved ones. I will start with my family. I will go to the office, my business place. I will make this gospel known beginning from today. I will start from somewhere. I will start from somewhere. I will start from somewhere. Even if it's to say, come and see. I will start from somewhere. And not passively. No. Not saying, come and see. And say, well, the people I invited did not come. You are not serious. No, no, not that kind of thing. I will come and see. And you insist that they come to the house of God with you. Make that commitment. You may just be watching online. You're a part of a local church where you are. Invite people to your church. Share ministry materials. Share ministry gospel content on the internet. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we bow our heads? There's so much power and anointing. Just please softly, just bow your heads. Stand, everyone. Laki pakoskele brunda sishtepai. You are here this morning. You have not given your heart to the Lord. You do not have a relationship with Jesus yet. God is talking to you. God is talking to you. The Lord is talking to you. right where you are, I want to pray for you. Jesus died for us publicly. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Absolutely. I tell people he died, he was crucified, stark naked in public. For your sins to be forgiven. For you to have a room in him. A place with the Father. A place with the Father. He was a sacrifice for your sins. You don't need to struggle with sins anymore. You don't need to be an enemy of God anymore. Right where you are, I want you to lift your hand. You are saying, Jesus, I want to receive your life. Oh, I want to rededicate my life to you. I want to start with you again. Right where you are, just lift your hands. Just lift your hand. The kingdom is serious. Just lift your hand. Just lift your hand where you are. Lift your hand where you are. God bless you, my brother over there. Lift your hand where you are. Nothing to be ashamed of. Today is your day. Today is your day. It's a day to receive salvation. He says, say not in your heart. He said, when you hear this message, do not harden your heart. For today is the day of salvation. Right where you are, in the halls, in the overflow. Just lift your hand. You want me to pray for you? Lift your hand in the overflow. I need officials in the overflow. I want you to give them cards. Let them lift the cards up. If you are raising it, raise it high so that you can get a card. Lift the card up. God bless you. God bless you. To be saved and to have your sins forgiven, you just need to believe in your heart. In the realm of the spirit, the physical things we do have significance. That means the believing in your heart and confession of the lordship of Jesus has spiritual significance. Right where you are, and with everybody in the hall joining us. But please, if your hand is lifted, you need to pray that prayer very loud and believe what you say or what you be saying with the whole of your heart. Hallelujah. Can you say this after me? And everybody, can we join them to say it? Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. And after 3 days, he was raised for my righteousness, for my justification, to break the power of sin. Today I declare that that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I declare and I receive forgiveness of sins. I am restored according to the word of the Lord into fellowship with God. I declare that today I am born again. I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. The power of sin and the power of Satan has been broken over me by the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. I'd like to announce to you that your sins are forgiven and you are restored to the Father. Make sure you wait. Make sure you follow. You follow the officials. Okay. You fill the cards and follow them. I don't know. Is it now? Okay.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.